We're here tonight in this ninth article of New Hampshire Confession of Faith of God's Purpose of Grace, dated 4/8/15. And the reason for that date there is just my editing of it, put the superscripts in it and get the scriptures kind of flushed out. Sometimes we find in our brother's work is that there's some scriptures that, at least to me, just don't make sense. They're not a fit. We try to reconcile those if we can. Some we can, some we can't, and we try to do that by the highlighting that you see there. We're here on this fourth portion of the article. Let's read it. We believe that election is the eternal purpose of God, according to which He graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves sinners. That being perfectly consistent with the free agency of man, it comprehends, and that word comprehends means to take in or imply or to include all the means in connection with the end. That it is a most glorious display of God's sovereign goodness, being infinitely free, wise, holy, and unchangeable. That it utterly excludes boasting and promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, trust in God, an active imitation of His free mercy, that it encourages the use of means in the highest degree, that it may be ascertained by its effects in all who truly believe the gospel, that it is the foundation of Christian assurance, and that to ascertain it with regard to ourselves demands and deserves the utmost diligence. We're here on the fourth section of this article, which reads that it utterly excludes boasting and promotes humility, promotes love, promotes prayer, promotes praise, promotes trust in God, and promotes active imitation of His free mercy. We become like Him. We're new creatures because He lives within. And so these things can't help be manifested, and yet we are called to cultivate them in regards to the fruit of the Spirit, as our brother speaks to us about that in the book of Galatians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's take a look here and see this first verse regarding this portion, that it utterly excludes boasting, okay, election, this eternal purpose of God, it excludes boasting, utterly excludes boasting and promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, trust in God, an active imitation of His free mercy. Let's read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, he seems to have trouble in convincing this church or some of this church in Corinth there in Greece, convincing them that he has the authority to deal with them and engage them in this. There's several times that our brother tells about his calling. He tells about the authority that he has, and as an apostle he does, to be able to deal with them, to be able to rebuke them and reprove them, to instruct them. He's called of the Lord to do so, and there are seemingly some there that are resistant to that. He speaks here in this chapter about being a minister of Christ, and that being a minister of Christ, he's not a lord over God's heritage, okay, which is mentioned in other passages, but rather a steward, one that has to take that which he's been given and use it well and use it right. And he's a steward of the mysteries of God, as it says in verse number 1. He's to those that have been called with the Lord to pastor, to preach, to be an apostle, must be found faithful. They cannot be found hypocrites. If I don't live as your pastor the things that I preach before you, then my witness towards you and my example towards you is indeed vain, isn't it? It's just that way. Anyone that we witness to about the good word and truth of God, if we don't practice what we preach, it is vain indeed. And so we come down here where he talks about how there's calling. And in this, he's been calling, and he's talking about not worrying about any man judging him. He says, wait till the Lord comes and judge. The Lord will judge, verse number 5. We stand accountable before Him. We do need to be concerned about our testimony, but we don't need to cower back on the truth of God because of anyone, okay? And he says here, regards to this, about what's said in this article, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" Let's back up to verse 6. "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Okay? The Apostle Paul was used greatly of the Lord. And he doesn't come there and speak to them and write to them and his coming to them and what's spending in Corinth a year and a half, right? 18 months that he spent there, if my memory serves me correctly, as it tells us in the book of Acts. He says, this is the word of God. This is the work of God. I don't come to you as a man in my great power and great way and my great personality to inflict something upon you. You and I need to understand this is God. This is God at work. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Do we make ourselves to differ one from another in anything that counts? Okay, no, understand the gauge. Who makes us to differ? Who makes us to be better? Who makes us to be helped if we're going to be helped and different in that way? It's God Almighty. It's God Almighty that does so. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? All right, start listing it. Little baby was born this week, and he did not conjure up life within himself. He was given life, wasn't he? And the Lord's has caused his soul. The Lord made his soul and given him a body with chubby cheeks, right? And black hair. Hard not to think about that. But the Lord did that, didn't he? The Lord's done that. What do we have? What have I done for myself? What have we made ourselves? Did you keep your heart beating this morning? Let's just get down to the basics. Did you cause your mind to work well this morning? It's the Lord that does these things, isn't it? For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? And if thou hast not, as if thou hadst not received it, like you've done it yourself. We're to be a thankful people in every way, aren't we? Thankful, 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 thankful. Can't be thankful enough. We are to be a thankful people. It is the Lord that has visited us. And you know what? That excludes boasting. It makes one, when they really see things right, humble. Now, what's humble? Does humble mean all cowered down like a whipped dog in the corner? No, humble means we need the Lord. We need to walk with the Lord. We need the help of the Lord. We need to inquire of the Lord. We need the peace of the Lord. We need the blessing of the Lord. All men and women, boys and girls, need the salvation of the Lord. We need Him. You need Him. I don't need anybody. You need the Lord. You and I need the Lord. And these here are behaving in a way. Let's read verse 8. "Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us." The blessings of the Lord have been piled up upon the church of Corinth and the people of Corinth. They've been rescued out of paganism. Listen, didn't even see it coming. You understand what I'm saying? They were there. Generation after generation after generation, born up in it, pursuing after it, went through the Greek Empire, coming to the Roman Empire as the time that the apostle writes, and they were just happy as could be in their sin till one day the apostle Paul showed up carrying what? His word? Oh, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they ride over there and say, hey, this isn't working, we need some help? No. The Lord purposed. He said he had many in that city, didn't he? And he told the Apostle Paul not to hold back. And so he says here, you're full, you're rich, you've reigned as kings without us. And would to God you did reign. He said, I don't desire the blessings of the Lord to be withheld from you. But don't get puffed up with them. Don't get hot-heady and high-minded with them. Be thankful that we also might reign with you. And then this is an interesting chapter. This chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, the chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, it really tells about the apostles. It really tells about the apostles and how our Lord called them and used them. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. How our Lord called the apostles and used up their lives for our sakes. For our sakes. Those apostles, their lives on this earth, by the call, the salvation and calling of our Lord, was used up for our sakes. We have much of the Word of God because of the New Testament scriptures because of the apostles. Now, there's a couple brethren that wrote gospels that were not apostles. But the balance is by the apostles. And the Lord used up their lives. And how is it that you've benefited from Brother Matthew being called an apostle and writing his gospel and being called in the ministry that he was called in? You have benefited much. I have benefited much. Brother John Mark, he's not an apostle. Brother Luke, he's not an apostle, but we've benefited much from the calling. Brother John, we've benefited much, haven't we? We've been able to understand great and blessed things, and there's more yet that we can know and learn and understand from our Lord because of the Lord's use of that man. Paul. The Lord used up his life on this earth so that you and I could be benefited and blessed. We've reigned as kings, haven't we? We've not striven against sin unto blood, have we? But haven't we been shown great and wondrous things from our Lord by his word? See that? And these two chapters, 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 4, speak about that, a subject for another time. We come over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there across the page or so. And, okay, get ready. Here's our description. All right, get ready. Here's our description, the description of us. For you see your calling, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 1, 26. Brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I don't like that. I think I'm pretty mighty. Well, in God's scheme of things, we're not. There may be those that have wisdom after this world, after the flesh, that's what's said. Well, we should be wise in the things of the Lord. Amen. Not many mighty. I don't like not being called noble. I think I'm a pretty noble fellow. Well, compared to the nobility of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not noble. And even of this world. But God hath chosen the foolish things. Now, I really don't like being called foolish. But that's what we were. We are now wise in the Lord, aren't we? And I don't mean that to be smart aleck. We're not to be smart aleck. But being shown our sin and the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and the salvation of the Lord, and we've been blessed to be shown about His church, we've been given some real eternal wisdom, haven't we? Those things aren't going to burn up. But the things that we've been engaged in this world, all that work that I did and it was good and the Lord blessed me in it. I talked to a man this week about some of the work that I did previously. You know, all that's going to burn up. I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. The Lord blessed me that. But it's not going to go past the memory that I have in this life. And when I die or the Lord takes me out of here, it's done. That's over. But you know what? Good things out of this book last forever. right? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things. Hear that word chosen? The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. How can he die so faithfully when they're stoning him, Paul would say, or Saul would say, as Stephen is being stoned? How can he be rejoicing that way when they're going to kill him? I think Saul coveted that out of Stephen and other brethren in that. We're squeezing them and crushing them down. And they keep on springing up. Remember in Brother Mark's Sunday school class, how he told about how the Roman government was trying to take and put down Christianity, this following of the Jesus of Nazareth, and finally to where Constantine took the approach, if you can't beat them, join them. Put them on the payroll. They were confounded. They've been over and over, time and time again. The Lord has used the base things, verse 28 of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not. Oh, that Jesus, that religion, that bloody thing that you believe in, that's nothing. Look at that little bitty old Olmsted Baptist Church out there by Whippoorwill Creek. That's nothing. In the eyes of the Lord, it's great, isn't it? And not because of us, but because of him. The base things of the world, the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Wait a minute. That no flesh should glory in his presence. It's the Lord's work in us. And it's great to be worked on, isn't it? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us eternal. Here's the eternal list. Eternal wisdom. Eternal righteousness, eternal setting apart. Isn't it good to be sanctified by the Lord, set apart by him for his calling, for his salvation, for us with the blessing of being in his church, set apart for that rapture, that resurrection of righteousness? What's better than that? And redemption, we've talked about that recently, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in himself. No, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Glory, glory in our Lord. The article reads that this election utterly excludes boasting and promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, trust in God. An active imitation of his free mercy. We go on to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, we've looked at this, and speaking of justification, the advantage of the Jew in this chapter, propitiation being spoken about here in the early verses in the 20s to the middle of such. And we come down here to Romans chapter 3, verse 27, where is boasting then? Boasting's excluded because we're not justified by what we do and present to God. By the law, by what law? Of works? No, but of the law of faith. So again, we trust in our Lord. We trust in him. We're the great working of God, and we're brought to that. We're given that, granted. But the sinner does believe in the Lord, and then the Lord does everything else. The Lord does everything else. And his graciousness is poured out upon us in every way. Is there boasting? Well, let us boast on our Lord. And we come over here to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse number 16. Again, justification. Was Abraham found pertaining to the flesh? He was before the law. Was iterated on Mount Sinai. He was before circumcision, his calling and his faith in the Lord, before the law and before circumcision. The scripture says here in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, the favor of God, unmerited, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Who's made the promise? God's made the promise. He's the one that's made the promise. He's the one that stepped up and decided to make a promise. Amen? And he's the one that made the promise, and because he cannot lie, because he can swear by no greater, it tells us in the book of Hebrews, when he makes a promise, he swears by himself. Because there's nobody greater. And when he makes a promise, it's as good as done. But we can trust him in it, can't we? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Well, I'm not in Abraham's lineage. Not that I know of. But you know what? In the lineage of faith, we are. We are. And so, indeed, there is an exclusion of boasting and a promotion of humility and so on. We go on to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We see here in verse number 12. Let's back up and get the whole sentence. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, what, their faith, their faithfulness, their witness, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. You mean I can walk unworthy of the Lord? Sure can. Go after that old man. Don't mortify and crucify that old man. That you might walk worthy, Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We saw that in the book of Romans, right, this past Sunday afternoon about, hey, what about the fruit? What about the fruit before you were saved? What about the fruit now that you should be bearing, right? Now compare those. All that fruit before was just dead, death, sinful, wicked, desire and lust of men and the flesh and the world and Satan. Death, 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 death. But now the fruit is living, isn't it? Right? Fruit of the Spirit. And it goes on. You might walk worthy of the Lord, Colossians 1:10, being fruitful in every good work, increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Here's our verse. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I didn't know what needed to be. Oh, okay. Well, it seems to fit too, doesn't it? All right. Yeah, chapter 3. I'm going to write chapter 1 down too. All right. Okay, listen to this. Because see, we're talking about what this promotes. Let's go ahead. This is providential. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, and who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, but by him all things consist. Okay, so now let's get over to our verse. He speaks here about mortifying and putting off things, verse number 8. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies. This speaks to that of us imitating our Lord. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, it's power under control. You've got ability in a thing, but you keep it under control. Long suffering, and forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I venture it would do us well just to forgive, don't you? Let us just forgive. Let us not be unwise and pray that the Lord would put forgiveness in our hearts. That would be a bad thing, wouldn't it? Yeah, we might get squashed in doing so. Let's just believe the word of God and forgive. And so we have this, bowels of mercies. Will we be merciful as our Lord's been merciful to us? Now understand, forgiveness and honor are two different things. They are two different things. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. I think chapter 1 works too, don't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me try to get the right chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That election utterly excludes boasting, promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, trust in God, and active imitation of His free mercy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? There were those that said, I'm glad I was part of the ministry of this fellow. And I'm glad I was a part of the, but I was baptized by this guy. No, this is not any man's ministry. And a man has a ministry, he has a calling. Always needs to be reflective of the Lord. And always needs to be the praise of the Lord indeed. You know, we know that the Apostle Paul was special in the hearts and minds of those that he had been sent to preach to and witness to and that were saved under his ministry. There is a special place there. But no man is to be worshipped. It's the Lord that's to be worshipped. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. It's the Lord. The Lord gave them the calling to go. The Lord gave them the message to preach. And it's the Lord that made the message effectual to the calling and saving of others, didn't he? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's the Lord that has given the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. I mean, they're like the off-scouring of the world. No, that's not what he's talking about. It's understand whose work it is. We are his ministers, we are his instruments, and we are used by him in his great work and purpose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter. The resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, he says in verse number 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, don't use this verse to hang on the Lord some bad thing that you am. Okay, I've heard that done. Well, the Lord didn't predestinate before the foundation of the world that I would do any better. Watch out. Watch out. Don't accuse God of your sin. Let me not accuse my God of my sin. Well, the Lord just didn't give it to me to go to services today. No, you had it. You had it before you to decide whether you're going to go to services or not. Now, granted, the Lord might have had something else in mind that he was going to deal with you today that might have prevented you from being in services, as an example. But we all had it before us, to whether we would seek to be here and choose to be here or not, whether we would try. As you've heard me say, the Lord knows when we're goofing off, and the Lord knows when it's real. And that's the way that it is. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know what? He's speaking about any blessing, any help, any salvation, any touch by the Lord to be used to be a help and a witness to another of good things. You know, we can be good witnesses or we can be bad witnesses. You know, don't you want to be a good witness of your Lord? A good witness? We can be a bad witness and people will come away from us saying, oh my, I don't want anything that Jim has because look how he is. You know, look how he is. Crotchety all the time. Doom and gloom all the time. Everything's falling apart all the time. He talks about his Savior, but it doesn't sound like his Savior done much for him. Doesn't show up. Doesn't show up in his countenance. Doesn't show up. When things fall apart, Jim falls apart. Well, that's what I do. Why would I want anything he's got? Or rather, you know what, Sister So-and-so, that, you know, when things get down nitty gritty, all they're touched by it, but they look to the Lord. Brother so-and-so, when he is faced with some serious thing, you know what that man does? He goes to praying to God. And you know what? Even though people are mean to him or mean to her or whatever, you know what? I heard them the other day praying for those people that were mean to them at lunch. Yeah, I know I'm giving you some scenarios, but what is it that we represent? What is it that we put forward? I am what I am by the grace of God, by the goodness, the favor of God. I am what I am. That's to His praise, to His glory. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Those are interesting words, aren't they? Not in vain. Could the favor of the Lord be bestowed upon one and there be parts of it or elements of it that would be in vain? It was not in vain, he said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Who's he speaking about? The apostles. The apostles. That's who he's speaking about. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. With me, he says. He says, the Lord, if there's anything good, the Lord has done this in me. If I've been used for anything that's of profit, it's been the Lord. If I've been able to pursue the preaching of the gospel and preaching the message of repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's been anything good that's coming, it's been because of the Lord, because His touch and His help upon me. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it's the Lord that is work. We pray and petition our Lord to work. And you know, when the Lord works in us, and when we take to our Lord personal issues, personal things that you know about you and I know about me and that you know about me. You hear that? When we take those things to the Lord and He blesses, He helps us, He works in those things, we say, oh man, isn't that great? Thank you, Father. We don't brag on ourselves. We brag on the Lord. First, we seek His face about it. First, we know about it. He brings it to our attention. And then we seek His face that He would help us with it. And then when He does, we thank Him. Again, the article reads that this election utterly excludes boasting, promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, trust in God. See, our Lord has worked, and we pray that He'll continue to work in us. Amen. Trust in God. We continue. We have faith in the Lord and to salvation, and we continue on in faith in Him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, he's closing out the epistle, and he says here, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. That's mature. Establish, strengthen, settle you. We're to purpose and pursue. We're to ask the Lord for His help. We're to praise His name when He does. We're to be representative, a good witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't the Scripture say to be conformed to His image? To be shaped to His image? That our Lord would work in us in that way. Acts chapter 1, we read here, the first church is there. And they seek the Lord's face. They were needing to appoint one to fill Judas's place, and they got that from the Scriptures. Okay? For it is written, verse number 20, it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Okay, so they had directive to fill the position, I believe. And it goes on to say here when they put out the qualifications there about who it would be that would replace Judas, what they needed to their experience needed to be. And verse number 24, here's what the church did. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. And we know that the lot fell on Brother Matthias, didn't it? And he filled that place that was there. It is the Lord's work. Now, Matthias then going, I was chosen to be an apostle and you weren't. I was chosen to be apostle because I'm better qualified. No, he's thankful. They're thankful that the Lord worked this in them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go ahead and catch verse number 12 also, because it's listed just a little bit later. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 12. Let's back up to verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, when they were first there and engaged themselves in ministering to them, preaching the gospel and teaching them things. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. That was the care that the apostle had for them. That you would walk worthy of God. Do so. Walk worthy of God. The calling is great. The rescue is wonderful and magnificent. The things that are prepared and the promises ahead are beyond our imagination. Walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. He's the one that's called, and he's called us to great things. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but ye received it but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when they came preaching, being pagans, but when they heard this message, and the working of the Lord and the ministry of the Lord and the sending of these men by the Lord to preach to them, they believed it. And how was it known that they were the elect of the Lord, the chosen of the Lord? They believed the word. They believed the gospel. They believed the calling. And he admonishes them here to walk worthy of the Lord and understand the calling to his kingdom and to his glory. And to continue on in this truth and the word of God, knowing that it effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God keeps on working on in us, doesn't it? Doesn't the word of God keep on working? Yeah, it should. And it tells us again that boasting is excluded, and we walk humbly with our Lord when we love prayer and pray into our Lord and praise him, trust in him, and we seek to imitate our Lord in every way. Not feigning an imitation, but to be changed. To be changed like our Lord. And then we come to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation. We've not chosen the Lord, he's chosen us. We are a royal priesthood and holy nation. Remember, children of Abraham by faith, right? That he would be the father of many nations. A peculiar people, peculiar and important to the Lord, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous, marvelous light. We've been called by our Lord. In Luke 18, verse number 7. Here, the parable of the Lord about men ought to pray, the judge, the widow, the persistence of the widow, and then this principle that's here, and shall not, verse number 7, God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto Him. We are praying, aren't we? And when we get squeezed and we get tried and when things are beyond us, don't we pray more? It seems like that's the way it works with us, with me. But these are needing avenged. And He will avenge, won't He? Those that cry unto His children, that cry unto Him day and night, though He bear long with them, He says, wait, wait, the time is not right. The time will come. Wait, wait, wait. That, and the thing is, the principle that we're given here is the way things rightly should be. We should be petitioning our Lord. In John 15, 16, you know this, the Lord says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I've ordained you to bring forth fruit, to bring forth fruit that'll remain. And then He tells some about prayer. In Ephesians chapter 1, the verse was Ephesians 1, 16. Let's read that. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, and so it could be that that would be the appropriate verse from the standpoint of the giving of thanks. But look at verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. And so the Lord has done this and worked this in us. And then we've taken a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 12. The election of God excludes boasting. We've not been saved by ourselves, but we've been saved by our Lord. He has done this for us. We humbly walk with Him and are to walk with Him. We're to love Him and love one another. We've been shown what love is. Not the love of this world, but the eternal, wonderful love of God. We are to pray to Him. He bids us come to find grace to help in time of need. We can boldly do so. We don't have to wait for a certain time. Don't have to have an appointment, but we can pray. We always are to be praising Him and not ourselves, not our own way, not our own work. We are to trust Him in everything, to believe His promises, to know them, to know that they're true. And we're to be imitators, not in a feigning way, but we're to be like Christ, who gave Himself for us. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're to be like Him. We're to represent Him. And this doctrine, this grace of the Lord, calls us to do so.